Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
You're in for a privilege and a treat this morning to hear Doug Jones minister. Doug Jones has been in the ministry for about 157 years. And he actually has been one of my favorite Bible teachers for about that long as well, all right? And I tell you, you're going to be richly blessed this morning. What I really encourage you to do is don't just sit there and just listen, but I encourage you, you open up your heart and you allow the Spirit of God to teach you and to instruct you today. Allow your Heavenly Father to bring light and understanding to you today. Because you know what? God knew you'd be sitting in that chair today. And he'll speak to you right where you're seated. And we want to draw upon the gift that God has within Doug Jones this morning and allow the Spirit of God and Heavenly Father to minister to us. Let's all stand up as Brother Doug comes. Let's just pray and let's believe God together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for the gift of God that you've placed within Doug Jones. We draw upon that gift, that anointing, Father God, to teach us, to instruct us. We thank you so much, Father God, that we will receive all that you have for us today. We open up our hearts and our minds to receive from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give Brother Doug a warm welcome.
Good morning. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, since the last time that I've seen you all, we now have 3.5 grandbabies. And so we got one coming up in May, so glory to God. Going to be a little boy. So now we'll have 2 boys and 2 girls. And so how many of you got grandbabies? Let me see your hand. How many of you are like me that if you'd known how grand the grandbabies were, you'd have skipped the kids altogether and just gone, glory to God. You know, I buy them anything they want. I never did that with my kids. And I let them do what I'd let them do stuff in the restaurants I'd have never let my kids do in the restaurant, you know. But it's so cute, you know. The whole time they're in trouble, you know, I'm just laughing the whole time, you know. I'm thinking, that's so funny. Don't spank them for that. That's hilarious, you know. And for some reason, my kids just don't understand that. And then my daughter-in-law, she don't understand it at all, you know. She doesn't have a clue. And my son-in-law, he doesn't have a clue. And so, but anyway, it's been a grand season in our lives. And I cannot wait to embrace it just completely as we progress with our growing up our kids. We got a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a almost 2-year-old, and now we're going to have another one in May. So it's a grand time. We have our book table back there. We don't bring it a lot, but this time I chose to. From 1989 until 1998, I taught in Brother Hagin's Healing School at Kenneth Hagin Ministries in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rhema Bible Training Center, and I taught there for 9 years, teaching on the subject of healing. And how many of you know when you teach on something for 9 solid years, every week of the year, 5 days a week, you stumble on some truth just by accident? You know, I never saw that, you know. And so as a result, there's 2 books that I've written that can speak to this subject of healing. Understand, positioning yourself to receive healing. This book is talking about the beliefs that one needs in order to receive healing by faith. How many of you know you just can't believe what you want to believe and get saved? Amen. You got to believe that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and confess him with your mouth. So you can't just believe anything you want to believe and get born again. And such it is with healing. And so this book talks about the beliefs that we need in order to receive healing. Understanding the Healing Power of God is our 2nd book. This book was written as a result of my travels with Brother Hagin. I was his crusade director for a number of years. And every time he would lay hands on people, he would say these words: "The moment I lay my hands upon you, the healing power of God will be administered to your body, but what you do with it after that is up to you." Well, for such a long time, I heard those words. Well, what do you do with it after that? Well, this book addresses what do you do after you've been prayed for, if you've had hands laid on you, after you've had the prayer agreement prayed for you, or you prayed the prayer of faith yourself, what do you do? This book talks about that subject. Then our last book is Mastering the Silence. You know as well as I do, Pastor John's talked about the renewing of the mind. Well, this book is about the maintenance of the mind. How many of you know there's just some thoughts you need to say no to? Amen? And so this book talks about the maintenance of one's thought life. I found this to be true, that every individual that's ever fallen from their place in the Bible fell first in their thought life first. And so this is a huge subject, and it's worthy of our time to investigate it. These books are out there. They sell for $10 a piece, or all 3 of them for $20. Everybody go, woo. Because you get to save 20, 10 bucks if you buy them all at once. So all 3 of them for $20, so that's a pretty good deal. Amen? Glory to God. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. And I want to step into a subject this morning that I believe is going to be vital for us as believers, especially as we enter into 2015. There's just some things that and principles that our Heavenly Father has given to us that is going to be vital for our well-being. You know, because as much as outside of being born again and becoming the righteousness of God in Christ, outside of being filled with the Spirit, speaking with other tongues, outside of having my mind renewed by the Word of God, being led by the Spirit has had a profound effect upon my life. This issue of being led by the Spirit should be an issue that we are continually embracing no matter what arena that we speak of, whether it be our own personal lives, whether it be our relationship with our wife or our husband, whether it be our relationship with our children, on the job, with our grandchildren. Being led by the Spirit is a real huge issue. You know, for me, you know, I grew up in the church, grew up Assemblies of God. And they might have talked about it, I'll be honest with you about it, but I can't remember whether or not they talked about being led by the Spirit of God. It was actually in 1974 when the Lord led me to go to Rhema Bible Training Center that I would sit in the classes, Brother Hagin and Ken Hagin Jr. and the different teachers, they would talk about being led by the Spirit. And specifically, Brother Hagin. His stories intrigued me. I had never heard about such things, about being led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God giving him insight into situations, the Spirit of God giving him direction as needed. And through Brother Hagin's stories, Brother Hagin gave me license as a believer to believe that I also could be led of the Spirit. It actually kind of opened that door for me, his illustrations. And so concerned about this issue, you know, I've just kind of been, you know, are we giving enough personal illustrations to where people that listen to us, that they're able to be licensed, if you will, to expect some of the same things to happen in their life? These things that we're going to be talking about today, it is not just about ministry. Even though some of them are going to be ministry illustrations, you have to realize that I'm a minister, and so I'm going to have a lot of ministers' illustrations. But there are, you know, every one of us who are laity in this room that work at our jobs or go to school or in college, or we also can have illustrations that can help bring to light the issue of the necessity and the benefit of being led by the Spirit of God. Can I have an amen? You know, I find it interesting, first of all, that being sensitized to the Spirit of God is a process. I found this to be true, that reading God's Word and obeying God's Word is the best way to sensitize your spirit to learn, to recognize the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit is the same voice as it is that comes through His Word. He wrote the Word of God. It was through the Spirit of God that God created the Word of God for us. And when you read the Word of God, you'll hear the voice of the Spirit. You know, I've written three books. The first book really was Understanding the Healing Power of God. Kind of got that out of order, but that was on my heart to write first. And so I wrote that book. And it took me about a year to write that book. Because I just typed it out on my computer, you know, and I would save each version, you know, and I would save each revision, you know, and I created that book. Well, I went ahead and self-published that book. I went ahead and obtained the editor, and I obtained the... And so when that book was printed, it sounded exactly like me because I wrote it. I didn't have a ghostwriter write it, if you will. Didn't have somebody else write it off of tapes or CDs or anything. I wrote it by... took me about a year to do it. Well, knowing the length of period of time that it's going to take to write another book, I felt that the Lord was leading me to write Positioning Yourself to Receive Healing. And I knew the amount of time and energy that it would take to write that book, probably another year or so. And at that particular time, I was busy. And so I thought to myself, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna give this to a writer, and I'm gonna give them the CDs or the cassette tapes back in those days, and I'm gonna have them write this book. But I'm gonna give them just one chapter to give a test on. I wanna see how they do. And so this individual that I picked had written for Brother Hagin. They had written for Oral Roberts. This individual had written for some, in fact, they write for Rick Renner today. And so I gave them my CD, and I told them, just give me one chapter. And so so they went ahead and you know, got it going. And so finally, after the one chapter was over with, they handed it back to me. And my wife and I read that, and it didn't sound anything like me. My wife said, it's not you. I thought to myself, well, the reason why it's not me is because this individual who I've chosen to help me write this book doesn't sit under my ministry day in and day out. She doesn't know my little quirks, she doesn't know me. That lesson cost me hundreds of dollars to learn. But I went ahead and took that book back and began to write that book myself once again. And once again, it took me another year to write that book because I wanted it to be me. And so as you read the Word of God, it's very clear that the Spirit of God's voice will come through His Word. And as we obey the Word of God, you know, I'll be real honest with you about it. I have difficulty believing that people that are just hearers of the Word and not doers of the Word are sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. You know, because I hear individuals all the time, well, I think the Spirit of God is telling me to do this, or I think the Spirit of God is telling me to do that. You know, first of all, you have to understand the Spirit of God will never lead you apart from His Word. The Spirit of God will never tell a father to leave their children. The Spirit of God will never lead a father to leave their children. Well, I think the Spirit of God is just telling me to leave my wife and leave my family. I'm sorry, but that's not the Spirit of God. He's going to honor the Word of God. He's going to go in line with the Word of God. He'll always do those things that please the Father. And so it's very clear here that this issue is a big issue. And so as we begin to go and begin to step into these things, I just want to talk a little bit about being led by the Spirit of God. You know, and over the 40 years of ministry, it seems to me that a lot of individuals have this idea that being led, seeking His direction, has to be involved with a lot of closet time. That you just have to hole yourself up in a closet, you know, and get everything dark, you know, and I don't know, sit in a yoga position probably and go, all day long. But I'm telling you right now, that has nothing to do with little or nothing about being led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, first of all, the first thing that I want to talk about is simply this. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. It's just a lot easier to lead a moving vessel and direct a moving vessel than it is a stationary vessel. Because a boat that's just sitting in dock, that's just a real hard thing to steer. But a boat that's moving is a little easier to steer. I learned this from Brother Hagin over the years, here again, listening to his stories, but he would talk about such things as this. He would say, you know, learn how the Spirit has led you in the past, and that's probably the way He's going to lead you in the future. Well, I don't know about you, and after I talk with a lot of ministry friends and a lot of people that I know about, it seems to me that the way that the Spirit of God has always led me is for me to take a step towards something, and then all of a sudden, you know, either I get a check about it, a little hesitancy, that still small voice that kind of just puts a little bit of a warning on me. And if I get that, well, then I step back. But if I take a step towards something and I don't get any checks about it, then I'm going to take another step toward it. And I keep going until I got a clear go ahead in that area. Now, you realize as well as I do that anything and any decision that I've ever done as a result of being led by the Spirit of God is always going to be in agreement with my wife. You know, I've learned a long time ago that we're a team. And there's going to be areas where she's sensitive in that I'm not sensitive in. There's going to be areas that I'm going to be sensitive that she's not sensitive. And I've learned that we've had to work with one another. Because I've learned a long time ago that it's just not a good thing to have to drag your wife around with the decisions that you've made. Is just a whole lot easier if she's accompanying you willingly. turn around to your spouse and say, willingly. It's just a lot easier. I've seen some individuals, you know, try to lord it over their wives because, well, this is what I believe that the Lord would have us do, and yet she's not got it. If you can't get her on board, if you can't get her on board, then slow up. If you can't get her on board, then kind of hold back a little bit. Ask the Lord to help her, or either that, or maybe tweak what you believe that the Lord has given you. Either way, you need to make sure that you're in a line with, you know, with what you believe that the Lord has given to you. And so being sensitive to the Spirit of God. This issue of being led by the Spirit of God, once again, for me personally, is not so much of us sitting in a closet waiting for God to give me something to do, but rather it's to take a step towards something. I want you to go with me, if you will, to, I told you to go to Romans, but go to Acts, if you will, Acts chapter 16. Y'all doing okay this morning? Yep. Acts chapter 16. I believe that the Lord will give us some insight into some of these things. Acts chapter 16. This issue of taking a step towards something. And then if you get a hesitancy about it, well, then you back away. For me personally, when it comes to the seeking of employment, this is not for me to just sit in my closet, you know, and go all day long until all of a sudden a company kind of comes in my mind. Well, then I guess that's where I need to submit a resume. For me personally, you submit a resume in every place and every opportunity you have available to you. Come on, guys. And as they begin to respond to your resumes, then you take a step toward it. And if you don't get any checks about it, well, then you keep going. And you just keep going. But if you get a check about it, well, then you hold back. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I want you to notice here that as we read this story, this is Paul's second missionary journey. And Paul has finished out his first missionary journey, and now he's entered into his second missionary journey. And he has Paul, and now Silas is with him now on the second missionary journey. And they've gone through Galatia, and they've gone through Pergia, and now he wants to go into Asia. Listen to what it says here. Acts chapter 16, and what I want to show you is this, is that Paul, in his three missionary journeys, listen to me now very carefully, went everywhere where he wanted to go, except where the Holy Ghost told him not to go. I'm going to say that again. The Spirit of God and Paul, as you see it through the Word, Paul went everywhere where he wanted to go, except where the Spirit of God told him not to go. Okay, don't like that. I'm a strong advocate that when it comes to your early years, it's kind of like the illustration that I give is like an upside down funnel. You know, you have a big bell out here and then it kind of goes, you know, like this, and it's upside down. To me, at the beginning stages of your life, you're at the wide part of that funnel. Because you're here and this funnel's out here and kind of goes like this, you know. And you can go here and you can go here. There's a whole lot of latitude as to what you can do. But the older you get and the more up into the funnel you get, the smaller your options are going to become. Because as a young man, just starting out, you know, in my 20s, I could pretty well do what was made available to me. I'll never forget when I graduated Raymond in 1975, Brother Hagin offered to me a position as being a cameraman and to working the books and going on the crusades with him. Well, to be honest with you, I didn't have anything else to do. Didn't have any other opportunities available. So I didn't even pray about it. Just went ahead and took it. Why? It's the only opportunity available to me. So I went ahead and took it. Well, throughout the years, I begin to notice that now I'm 40 years in ministry now, and I'm kind of up in that narrow area. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? Now there's a whole lot of things that are available to me, a whole lot of opportunities that are available to me, but now I'm a little bit more restricted is what the Lord will allow me to do at this stage of my life. Can I have an amen? So many individuals, when they're young, they think that they're restricted. In reality, they're not. They can pretty well do what they want to do as long as it doesn't violate their heart. You understand as well as I do that that is a major, major phrase that should be in every one of our families. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Listen to your heart. But now I heard these words, it's awful difficult for an individual to follow their heart when they're a liar. You understand as well as I do that when you lie to someone, you're violating your heart because your heart knows the truth. Anything you can do to keep you attached to your heart, you understand this, thank you. You understand this, that being led, there's a price to being led by your heart. And the price of being led by your heart is always crucified flesh. Your flesh will always pay a price. Because your flesh wants to go over here, your flesh wants to do this, your flesh wants to say that, but you don't violate your heart. If your flesh wants to lie, well, I'm sorry, but the spirit within you just kind of has a problem with that. Well, then you don't violate your heart. You stay true to your heart. You don't violate your heart. Turn around to that next door neighbor and say, don't violate your heart. Don't allow yourself to embrace areas here that that can cause you to violate your heart. Pouting all day, that violates your heart. Being jealous, that violates your heart. There's so many things that, you know, getting to work late, that violates your heart because you have the truth in the side of your spirit. But I want you to notice here that Paul on his second missionary journey, Paul went wherever he wanted to go, except where the Spirit of God told him not to go. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Pergia, second missionary journey now, Paul and Silas, and throughout the region of Galatia, and were, watch this now, underline it, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Notice evidently Paul made a step toward Asia, and the Spirit of God forbid him to go. Then I want you to notice the next verse. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Evidently, they wanted to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of God checked them about it. Do you see here that Paul went everywhere where he wanted to go, except where the Spirit of God told him not to go? Do you see that? Do you see that? And so oftentimes when it comes to receiving direction from the Lord, you're going to have to take a step towards something. I'll never forget in 1979, the Lord put into my heart to be a pastor, to start looking for a church. And I went ahead and told Brother Hagin about that. And so he said, well, just take your time. There's no rush in it. Just take your time and follow your heart. Well, a few months later, Brother Hagin came to me and he said, I was talking to my cousin who pastors in Abilene, Texas, and he has an associate pastor position, and he's going to use this position to kind of use as his successor, if you will. And so, you know, Doug, this may be something that you might want to check out. And so my wife and I talked about it a little bit. You know, we prayed about it in our home in Tulsa. Prayed about that. Man, we prayed about that. Couldn't get anything about it. Couldn't get a yes, couldn't get a no. And so I told my wife, I said, I don't know, but it seems like to me, I have to kind of step towards something in order for me to know some things. And so I told my wife, I said, let's get in the car and let's just drive to Abilene. Let's set up an appointment with this pastor and let's go talk to him. So we went to Abilene, Texas from Tulsa, pretty significant drive. And we're praying most of the time, trying to find, and I'm getting nothing. And as God is my witness, I got into the city limits. And all of a sudden on the inside, I got a mm-mm. I thought, are you kidding me? I drove all this way. You could have given me that in Tulsa. And so I got up to the door and I'm knocking at the pastor's door. And the whole time I'm knocking, I'm getting a mm-mm. Well, because of the reference that Brother Hagin gave me, to be real blunt about this, this guy had already pretty well concluded that I'm going to be the man. And so the next day, after we had dinner with him that night, then we went to the parsonage where we're going to live. They had a home for the associate pastor that we could live in. So we're touring that home, you know, and the whole time we're touring it, on the inside I'm getting, mm-mm, this ain't it, mm-mm. The next day, Sunday, I'm preaching Sunday morning at their church, and the whole time I'm preaching, mm-mm, this ain't it. After lunch, we got done with lunch, and so he said, well, I know you're traveling back to Tulsa, and, you know, what do you think? I said, sir, you have a precious church, And I said, you got precious people and you're a precious pastor. But I said, I'm sorry. He said, you don't have to say anymore. He said, I've heard you teach. He said, you need to be a senior pastor anyway. You don't need to be an associate pastor. And he sent me with his blessings away. And I thought to myself, what would have happened if I'd have just, come on guys, if I'd have just sat still? There needs to be some movement. Go ahead and submit that application. Go ahead and check out that opportunity. I'll never forget, my wife and I were having difficulties. Our kids we sent our kids to public schools, and because we didn't really have the money to go ahead and go private. And so now my children are getting ready to go into middle school. And the middle school that this elementary school fed into was a troubled school. It was a difficult school, had a bad reputation. And we were torn about what we're going to do. So I told my wife, I said, I want you to do this. I want you to set up some appointments. Let's go tour this school this feeder school. Let's go tour it. And then let's go tour some other schools around the area that we might be able to transfer into. So my wife and I, with the children, went and we got a tour of the one school, actually sat in some classes in the back. And the whole time I'm there, I'm just getting an uneasiness about it. Man, I'm not feeling good about this at all. But I can't put my finger on it. I don't really know what's up here. But something's up here and I just can't put my finger on it. So I told my wife, I said, let's go and check out so-and-so's school. So we set up an appointment there and took our kids there. And boy, we got into that. You talk about peace. You talk about, And so we went ahead and transferred our kids from not the feeder school, but the transfer school, and had a wonderful experience. Our kids were favored. They had a wonderful teachers. It was a wonderful atmosphere completely all around. It came as the result of being led. Can I have an amen? Amen. Came as the result of being led, of checking things out, of checking things out. Are you listening to me? I'll never forget one time, I found this to be true, that when it comes to our kids, our wife had more of a sensitivity when it came to being led by the Spirit of God about our children than I did. I'm working 40 hours a week. I'm traveling on the weekends. I'm not home a lot. But she had a sensitivity when it came to the kids that I didn't have. And I'll never forget that my daughter, as a young girl, we were roller skating and she broke her arm roller skating, and so we had it set. And a couple of days later, my wife came to me at night. She said, I keep getting that they said it wrong. I said, honey, I said, you know, she doesn't seem to be much of in pain or anything like that. And she said, I keep getting it that they've said it wrong. I said, all right, because I've learned to trust my wife. And I said, all right, go schedule an appointment and just go to another doctor and have them x-ray it and see. Come to find out, they said it wrong. They had to go in there and re-break it and go ahead and reset it again. Thank God for the leadership of the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit of God. Here again, obedience to the Word of God and also being led by the Spirit helps us with these things. But I found this to be true, that not only will the Spirit of God lead you when it comes to direction, but the Spirit of God will give you insight into situations. See, if you're not real careful, what you'll do is you'll pigeonhole being led by the Spirit to direction alone. Well, where should I work? You know, because what company should I, you know, become, you know, aligned with? But the Spirit of God will also work in some other areas. He'll give you insight into situations. But here again, you're going to follow your heart. I'll never forget, I learned this the hard way. My son was about 17 or 18 years of old, 16 years of old. And my son was always a moral person. My son was always, never got into drinking or smoking, anything like that. But my son during those years copped an attitude. And there was a lot of arguments back in those days. And, so particularly this one particular case, he broke curfew. And it ticked me off. Man, it made me mad. He's not answering his phone, which made me madder. And these kids nowadays, they have their phones with them. They just choose, you know, they're using their caller ID to their advantage, you know. and blaming it off on it was on silent mode when it wasn't at all. But anyway, and so I made attempts to call him and couldn't get a hold of him. So I just sat up and waited on him. And of course, when he came through the door, we had a blowout. And all of a sudden, through this blowout, he went screaming down the hallway and slammed the door and locked his door. And everybody else in the house, my wife and my daughter, they're all mad at me. Everybody's mad at me. And I thought to myself, I didn't do anything. I'm just talking to him about it, you know. And we got into a heated, like I said, a heated argument, which we shouldn't have done in the first place. But anyway, that's another story. And so now everybody's asleep. 1 o'clock in the morning, everybody's asleep. My wife's asleep. My daughter's asleep. My son's asleep. I'm wide awake because we've got a conflict in our home. I got a problem in my home. What am I going to do? So I started looking for, well, who can I go to talk to? We got to help my family. So I looked at, now they wouldn't know what to tell me. I looked, no, they wouldn't know what to say. And I couldn't find anybody that I knew that I thought could be able to speak into my life about that situation. 2:30's passed. Now 3 o'clock's coming around. And I'm sitting there worried about this situation. And all of a sudden, on the inside, I heard these words. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I thought to myself, Jones, you're an idiot. You've been trying to figure this out from the fleshly standpoint. How many of you know, guys, when you figure it out from the fleshly standpoint, you have to rely upon one of two things, either your mind or your muscle. And if your mind can't figure your way through the problem and your muscle can't move the problem, then your problem's going to remain a problem. Isn't that right? But how many of you know we have another option available to us as born-again believers? And that's seeking and tapping into the wisdom of God. And so I said, all right, Lord. And all I said was, what about this? That's all I said. I didn't get up and get on my knees and start just wailing and start interceding. I just said, Lord, what about this? And the moment I said that, I saw it. I saw what happened. I knew how it all, you know, turned down and came around and ended up. And man, I went to sleep in perfect peace. 6 o'clock in the morning, I wake my wife up. Took her to the bathroom and started crying. I started crying. Told her what the Lord showed me. We went into the bedroom, knelt at his bed, woke him up. Bubba, you need to wake up. And I told him these words. I said, during the nighttime, told him what I've just told you. I said, all of a sudden, I saw what happened. The Lord said to me, you piled on. And when you piled on, it was like a pressure cooker that couldn't take no more, and it blew its top. Because while I was talking to him, I'm talking about the Spirit of God would lead you through situations. You're not alone. You don't have to figure them out on your own. And so I said to him, I said, you know, Sam, the issue was the curfew. That was an issue. You did violate it. It was wrong. But what I did that was wrong is I piled on. What I mean by that is I took some other issues that I've been wanting to talk to him about, but waiting for the right moment, and I just went ahead and piled on. And while I'm talking to you, let me tell you about this. And while I'm talking to you, you need to straighten up this area of your life. And while you're talking, and the Lord said to me, have I ever piled on when it came to you? How many of you know, guys, the Lord could pile on if he wanted to? He could talk to us about, and just all in one session, he could pile on all the things that he's been concerned about you for a really long time. But how many of you know the Lord never piles on? He keeps the issue the issue. Is that not right? Come on, talk to me now. This is really good. Are y'all out there? And so the thing about it is, I begin to realize, how many of you understand this? Spouses can pile on toward one another. How many of you know that parents can pile on when it comes to their children? How many of you know employers can pile on? You know, my wife, you know, it seems like you women have a hard time playing with one another every once in a while, more than us men do. Not a man said amen, because they knew that they'd be in trouble on the way home, you know. And there's been a many time where my wife has had to go into a situation And I've just had to tell her, you keep the issue the issue. You don't allow other issues to be brought in that are not related to the issue. Come on, guys. You keep the issue the issue. Say with me, you keep the issue the issue. So the thing about it is, as I saw it, the Lord will help you. The Lord will help you walk through situations, but you'll have to listen to your heart. You'll have to follow your heart. Can I have an amen? Amen. I found this to be true, that not only will he lead you and direct you, not only will he give you insight into situations, but I found this to be true, the Spirit of God will forewarn you of difficult waters ahead. The Spirit of God will forewarn you. How many of you remember Paul on his, after his third missionary journey, was in as a prisoner, being taken to Rome, and he felt led of the Lord that this journey is going to be with harm. Isn't that true? How many of you know that was the Lord forewarning him about impending danger? Now, you know the story, how that the captain of the ship didn't pay any attention to Paul's warning. You know that the prison keeper didn't pay any attention to Paul's warning. And you ended up, and you know as well as I do, that Paul ended up having to work themselves through this storm. And they saved him, everybody, but the ship was lost. The Spirit of God, many times, will forewarn you to prepare your heart. One of the first introductions into this particular working of the Spirit was with an illustration with Brother Hagin. Mark Brzee and I lived with Brother Hagin from 1975 until 1977. And in the early part of 1977, we're getting ready to travel to Albuquerque, New Mexico on a trip. And so we're asleep, and the next morning we're supposed to wake up and pack the van with all the books and stuff. Well, we already had those packed, but pack the Hagins' clothes, pack our clothes, and take off and drive to Albuquerque and meet the Hagins when they fly in the next, 2 days later. Well, we're still sound asleep, and I heard the phone ring in the Hagins' home early in the morning, 4 o'clock, something like that in the morning. And A few minutes later, I heard a knock at the door. Boys, you need to wake up. Come to find out, one of his board members, who was a personal friend of his son, long story short, his son used to be involved in the mafia. And they came, and he denounced him and got away from him for about a year. But they came and got him, took him on an isolated road north of Sky, took Oklahoma, and shot him in the head, left him for dead. Threw him off in the ditch, left him for dead. Well, somebody found him, got him to the hospital. He's still alive, but barely. And so the Hagins have been called because this is not only their board member, but also personal friends. These were the individuals that would come and play games with Mom and Dad Hagin and have dinner with them, and they went places with them. They were very close with one another. So he said, boys, he said, I want you to go ahead and get up now. And he said, I know you're getting ready to go to Albuquerque. Go ahead and load up all the clothes, get everything situated. But stop off to the hospital before you go and pray with the family. Aretha and I are going up there right now. So they left. And so we got together and got everything together and got situated and went up there. The moment we got up into the waiting room, the father just embraced both Mark and I and said, come, please come. And he took us back to where the son was in a coma, with a whole bandage around their heads, and it's a whole long ordeal. And he said, please pray. Just started bawling. Please pray, please pray, please pray. So we went ahead and prayed, and we stayed in the room for a little while. Then we went back, and so I knew that we needed to go to Albuquerque, so we hugged, and we knew pretty well everybody in the room. There's a big room full of a lot of people. I went ahead and hugged everybody. I'm talking about the Spirit of God will show you things to come. He showed Paul about this shipwreck. He will show you things to come. And prepare your heart. And so I'm getting around, and I hug everybody. And the last person I hugged was Brother Hagin. And I hugged him and said, okay, we'll see you in Albuquerque, tomorrow when you fly in. We'll be there. And I just happened to catch his eye. Didn't think much about it at the time. So we got in our van, and from Tulsa to Oklahoma City, Mark Brzee and I never said a word to one another. We prayed in tongues the whole way, almost a 2-hour drive, out loud. Got into Oklahoma City, and we stopped praying. I stopped praying first, then he stopped. Had a couple of minutes of silence there, maybe 15, 20 minutes of silence. Didn't say a word to one another. I turned around to him, and I said, down here I'm getting, he's not going to make it. I never had gotten anything like that before. I said, what are you getting? He said, I'm getting the exact same thing. And we never said a word from Oklahoma City to Albuquerque to get, never said a word to one another after that. Next day we got to the airport, and back in those days you could go to the gate, meet the people as they came off the gate. And so we went at the gate, and mom and dad came off. The first words that I asked, what about him? Dad just looked down, shook his head, passed away. I stopped him dead in his track. I turned around and I said, you knew in that waiting room, didn't you? He said, I know. The Spirit of God will show you things to come. Are you listening to me? He'll show you things to come to prepare you. Some things you can go ahead and pray and turn around. Some things you can't. I'll never forget, and I'm going to end with this story. Are you doing okay today? Are you listening to me? I'm going to end with this story. It's a rather strange story. But I want you to see here, if you're not real careful, you can misjudge these things. You know, for some reason, we've gotten this idea that anything you get that's negative, that has a negative connotation, is of the devil. Well, Paul got something negative over there in that shipwreck situation, and it wasn't the devil at all. It was the Spirit of God forewarning him. Paul was actually forewarned that there was going to be some bad stuff that was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. That was a bad warning. That was not an all victory warning. Spirit of God can help you and prepare your heart for some things. Are you listening? I'm going to change stories and go to this story. There was an individual there in healing school. His wife was sickened, if you will. We won't go into details about it. And going through the whole, you know, trying to help him, trying to minister to him. Well, it came down to where now she's pretty severe, and the doctors are wanting them to sign the paper of do not resuscitate. And he's not going to resign them. And the doctors came to me because I was visiting him on a regular basis, visiting his wife in that hospital situation. And they came to me and they said, he needs to sign this paper. I said, give me a day. He said, they asked me to help him. I said, give me a day. Just give me a day. Let me pray about this. I said, how I should approach him, and then we'll talk to him about it. So the next day I went to him. He's in there and he's with his wife, rightfully so. And I said, let's go for a walk. So we went for a walk and ended up in the chapel, Broken Arrow Hospital. It's no longer there now, but Broken Arrow Hospital in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Ended up in the chapel. And so we got in there and we're praying. We're sitting on the front row. We got a seat between us. And he's got his hands like this and his elbows on his knees. We got quiet after a while. So I said to him, I said, I'm going to ask you just one question. What are you getting right down here? He said, Brother Doug, he said, I've known for 6 months that she's not going to make it. I said, do you realize the Spirit of God, Bible promises us that he will show you things to come? He said, Brother Doug, I know. He went ahead and after that talk, went ahead and signed the paper. She passed away the next day. I went to Brother Hagin about that. And I said, Dad, I said, what about this? He said, when it comes to your own relatives, when it comes to those people that you're in relationship with, it's very difficult. Come on, guys. Come on. Are y'all out there? The Spirit of God will help you. But not only will the Spirit of God forewarn you, but how many of you understand this? The Spirit of God will also tweak your beliefs. He'll tweak your attitudes. All of a sudden, you have an attitude that's ungodly attitude, and the Spirit of God will tweak it if you allow him to. But here again, being a doer of the Word of God, reading the Word of God is going to be a help to us. Can I have an amen? I'll give you this last story, and then we got to go. Y'all doing okay this morning? I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God. It's not just about what to do. Well, the only time that I need to be led is, well, what car do I buy or what job do I take? How many of you know there's other aspects of our life that are daily aspects of our life that we need to make Him involved in and allow Him to become involved in? Can I have an amen? Amen. Decisions about how you're going to respond to your wife. How you're going to respond to your husband. Bible's very clear about it in James. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Well, how many of you time knows that if you're slow to speak, that means you can give the Holy Ghost time to kind of lead you and to tell you as to how to speak. Do you understand? I'm just going to say this. Relationships are destroyed quicker by the quickness of words and the sharpness of words. Bible has a very much to say about be slow to speak. Why? Because I found this to be true. The quicker you speak, more than likely you're speaking out of your flesh. All right, don't like that. Okay. So I'm working at Rhema. I'm talking about he'll tweak your attitudes. I'm working at Rhema. And, you know, you work there for 30 years, you can cop an attitude about some things because, well, they're not done the way that I think they need to be done. Well, who thinks that you have a right to think that? Anyway, that's another issue. And so I was copping an attitude. And so, long story short, Lynette wants to do a flag ceremony at Winter Bible Seminar because we're going to have a worldwide reunion. And she wants flags from every country that will come and be represented by, and people would carry their flags from their countries, and there were literally hundreds of them. And so I'm standing there next to a spot where they're staging these flags to go from here to the next step, and then they're going to go down to the front. And so this flag ceremony, and I really wasn't into the flag ceremony. I didn't really have anything to do with it, but I really wasn't it because I'm copping an attitude about the things that we're not doing right. And it's starting to hinder me, starting to affect me. And so all of a sudden these flags are just covered the front of the auditorium and on the platform. I mean, there's everywhere. And I started bawling like a baby because of the goodness of God and what God's accomplished through Rhema over the years. All these different countries touched with the gospel. And while I'm bawling like a baby, I heard these words on the inside. Fruit is not the result of perfection, but it's rather the result of faithfulness. And the moment the Lord said that to me, I said, Lord, forgive me. Because how many of you know, everybody will admit, including myself, that Rhema is not perfect. But we have been faithful. And no organization is perfect. But faithfulness is the key. I should have gotten more amens than that. Are you listening to me? And the moment that I saw that, I thought, Jones, you're just an idiot. You're allowing yourself to be taken up with perfection. You and your own home, you're not perfect either. Talking to me. With your children, you're not a perfect father. But fruit has been produced, and it's been produced out of faithfulness. You stuck with it, didn't give up. And the Lord began to tweak my attitude about, and that has helped me to where now I'm almost 40 years at Rhema Bible Training Center as an instructor. God's blessed us and God's kept us. We've been able to be a blessing only because I allowed the Spirit of God to tweak my attitude about the place that I work. Come on, guys. How many of you know He wants the most beneficial thing He can do for you is going to be sometimes to help you change the attitude you have about things. Before your words can ever be changed, before your actions can ever be changed, how many of you know sometimes He needs to change your heart? And He can do that by being led by the Spirit of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many of you can testify for the rest of us in this room that you've experienced the blessings of being led by the Spirit of God in some of these areas? Can I see your hands? Isn't it a wonderful thing? And I'm going to encourage you, Pastor Steve, if you will, come on up. I'm going to encourage you as we end to take an inventory. Go back through your life and look at all the places where the Spirit of God has led you. Remember, try to write them down. I've done it recently. It's amazing when you start looking at, man, He led me there. And man, He held me back from saying those words. And He held me back from walking away from that relationship. And He held me back from taking that. you start logging those and journaling those issues, you'll begin to see that your Heavenly Father has been much more involved in your life than what you've ever imagined. And the majority of his involvement has come from two places, from the Word of God and from that still small voice. I'm going to say it again. The majority of his involvement within our life has come as a result of obedience to that word and as a result of yielding to that still small voice. Be a good thing to do to start out 2015 by putting you in remembrance of how God's led you in the past, because you can expect him to lead you in 2015. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've done through us. And Father, we're so thankful, so grateful for the gift of righteousness that you provided for us. So thankful that we have a right relationship with you because of Jesus. And Father, we're so thankful for the word that you've given to us that's renewed our mind. We're so grateful, so thankful. But Father, we're also thankful for the Holy Ghost that has been given to us, promised to us by your Son Jesus, that he would provide another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost that dwells within each one of us. Help us to develop the habit of being slow to speak, slow to wrath, and Father, quick to listen to your Spirit, to guide us and lead us and direct us. And Father, I thank you that as we do, that our marriages will be different. Our relationship with our children will be different. Father, our relationship on the job with our employers, employees will be different. All because we use the tools that you've given to us to live this life successfully in you. And Father, we thank you for these things.
Just keep your head up.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.